Lounge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. As calls mount for the Justice Department to release all the Jeffrey Epstein files, a House panel now approved a motion for the GOP chair to subpoena Epstein's co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell. Now the DOJ is also pushing to talk with Maxwell.
It's a stunning announcement from the number two in the Justice Department, who previously served as Donald Trump's defense attorney. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche now says he hopes to meet with Ghislaine Maxwell to see if she believes anyone else should be prosecuted. Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's former girlfriend, is currently serving a 20-year prison sentence, and she's the only person other than him to ever be charged with sex trafficking. In a statement earlier this month, the DOJ and FBI said they'd seen no evidence implicating anyone else.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. Severe heat impacting millions across the U.S. this week with dangerous temperatures and humidity in the Midwest and South. Black Sabbath frontman Ozzy Osbourne has died. His family says the British rocker passed away surrounded by love. Ozzy Osbourne was 76. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin will join another multi-state coalition in a lawsuit against actions taken by the Trump administration. The new lawsuit seeks to halt efforts to impose new restrictions on essential health, education, and social service programs. The lawsuit argues that the additional restrictions put access to community services like Head Start, adult education, and community health centers at risk. The coalition is asking a federal court to declare the new rules unlawful and halt their implementation through injunctions. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to participate in Aquatic Invasive Species Snapshot Day on August 9th. According to a press release, the event is part of a statewide effort to get more residents involved in monitoring the state's waterways for invasive plants and animals that could threaten their natural ecosystem. Volunteers will gather at local training sites to learn how to identify invasive species before visiting designated monitoring areas. Residents can register to participate in the event online until August 8th. The Minnesota Nurses Association at Ascensia Health in Duluth officially announced the end of their strike in a press conference outside the Ascensia Health St. Mary's facility on Tuesday. The strike began about 2 weeks ago, following months of negotiations between the nurses' union and the healthcare organization. Minnesota Nurses Association organizers say their decision to go on strike was based on unfair labor practices, including chronic understaffing and the failure of the healthcare organization to take their input on patient care needs into consideration. The United States Coast Guard says two people were rescued from a sinking boat on Lake Superior near Bayfield over the weekend. According to Coast Guard officials, the incident occurred at around 7 p.m. on Friday. They say two people were on the boat when it started taking on water, and when their crews arrived at the scene, the boat had already mostly gone under. The two occupants were rescued from the water and brought to shore. Coast Guard authorities are still investigating what caused the boat to begin sinking. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A shutout in Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a 6-0 shutout win over the Seattle Mariners. The crew held hitless until the top of the sixth when Joey Ortiz got on base, then slid into home plate. FanDuel Wisconsin.
Contreras, a high fly into right. Ortiz back to tag. Canzone under it, makes the catch. Here's the throw home. Ortiz slides. He's safe. 1-0 Brewers on the sack fly by Contreras.
Ortiz kicking off a four-run inning. Pat Murphy.
Then Terang, and then Contreras sack, and then Yelly base hit, and then Churio missile, and Collins walk. I mean, that's seven quality at-bats in a row. That's what you have to do. You got to stack them. That's how you get crooked numbers, if you stack them. And yeah.
So for now, Milwaukee has the best win-loss record in baseball and one game ahead of the Cubs. They lost 12-4 to the Royals at Wrigley Field. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Partly sunny and getting warm and muggy today. High temperatures tapping the upper 80s, and really with the heat index feeling more like the mid-90s. Then tonight, overnight, showers and thunderstorms roll through, continuing through our morning. We'll stay mostly cloudy tomorrow, with highs feeling more like 105 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane, Matt, and Air and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is sliding into the seats here at Radio Park in Racine. We will be back with you on Thursday. Join Matt. Going to be a great show.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Allbaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer and engineer. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. It is Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite here at the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison on State Street. Zommers, let's take a look out at the old Sam Davidson street cam. See what's going on out there on beautiful the corner of State and Fairchild right here in downtown. Wicked is played across the street, actually. I set it up today, so it's a little blurry. Sorry about that. You can't really see, but in the window, there's a big Wicked sticker of the witches over there. Wicked is played in town, and I think it was a couple nights ago or last week. One of the performances got canceled because they had water problems. You know, the old saying, the show must go on. Apparently, a water main broke or something at the Overture Center. And
wasn't
so they
that
did,
the same day as, like, the tornadoes and stuff?
I think it was.
Yeah, I think there was just too much water and overwhelmed everything. You know, the show must go on is for when you have issues with performers, right. Not when it is unsafe for the
Well, there are no bathrooms. There are no bathrooms. I think that was the
problem. That's the problem.
You can't just have, you know, people walking around Depends the entire show. You got to have, legally, you got to have bathrooms.
Hand out Depends at the door.
Yeah, right? So they closed it down. And it turns out that none of the witches in the show could fix it. You know, there's no spells.
Yeah, they got to stay away.
Right, there's no spells. So and it was very nice of the cast and the company and crew of Wicked. They added a matinee performance. I believe it's this week on Thursday to kind of make up for that. So that's very nice of those folks. So anyway, there we are in downtown State Street there. The view right now, partly cloudy skies, we'll call it, across Madison. Looking for maybe some heavy weather across parts of Wisconsin tonight into tomorrow. Zommer is going to be pertinent near 100 with heat indexes. Other words, it feels like 105 tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Now, we...
I'm sick. I can't come into work tomorrow.
Well, you have to because here's what's going on tomorrow. We're going to be in air conditioned all day. They have called a conclave of Civic Media. The Cardinals of Civic Media, Jane Matinair being our premier Cardinal of Civic Media host announcers here. All the announcers are coming in for a conclave. And so I will be on the other side of the wall at this time tomorrow, locked in the conclave. But have no fear. Our regular friend and ongoing contributor on Wednesdays, Trigvi Olson, a native of River Falls, Wisconsin, like myself, a former Republican and now the senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. You're going to get 2 hours of Trigvi as he guest hosts the show, but Zomers will be here to give it some gravitas, some firmness.
To hold it on the rails.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the key right there, to hold Trigvi on the rails. But it's going to be a great show because our state senator here in Madison, she's been on the show many times, Kelda Royce, is going to be here on the program with Trigvi. And this is something I think that it'll be an interesting discussion. Senator Kelda Royce is the ranking Democratic member on the State Senate Committee on the UW system here in the legislature. And, of course, Trigvi and I have traveled around and done this show from several UW institutions. Trigvi himself, a graduate of UW-Eau Claire. So Trigvi and Senator Royce are going to talk about UW school system, the future of it after this state budget passed. Was there enough money? What's going to happen moving forward? How about the two-year institutions, the ones that are left? And they're also, I think, going to talk a little bit about K-12 public education.
And also, do you know who else is going to be on the show?
I heard our friend Reed Galen.
You heard correctly.
From the union, who Reed traveled with Trigvi and I around the state last year. So that's very nice of Reed Galen, one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project, and now the president of the union. So Reed Galen is also going to join Trigvi and Zomers on the show tomorrow. Take your phone calls, I'm sure. So it should be a great time had by all tomorrow. Tune in then. And then on Thursday, Zomers, we're doing the show. I'm getting back in the – no bus this time. I'll get back in my little white truck, and we'll trek up to Green Bay. We're going to do the show on Thursday from Green Bay Preble High School for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference, of which Civic Media is a sponsor. So looking forward to hearing about public education from that group on Thursday on the ground. And then we're going to stay up there. And on Friday, we're going to do the show from the WGBW studios, the Pete Schwabe Studios at WGBW Green Bay. Speaking of Schwabe, Zomers is going to guest produce the show tonight because Schwabe is in town. And so Nightlight is going to...
Well, I'm getting him set up. Conrad's still producing today and tomorrow.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I'm getting a couple of days ahead of myself.
But he's in town.
So Schwab is going to be here tonight doing his show from 6 until 8. So that's always a good time as well. So tune in tonight from 6 until 8. So I think we have the week schedule laid out here for everybody. All right. It's 12 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again to play What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again to play What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize, money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard across all 11 news talk sports stations in the Civic Media Radio Network. No better place to advertise your cause, your business, than right here at Civic Media. We'd love to have you as a partner or sponsor. Check us out at civicmedia.us. That's civicmedia.us. And we'll be happy to talk to you. I'm happy to have you as a sponsor. All right, Zomers. And by the way, we're going to talk a little baseball this hour as well. I'm so excited because I have a clean undershirt on, but I have not washed the jersey because now this is about, the Brewers have kept winning. They won their 11th game last night out at Seattle, 6-0, Zomers, shutout.
So yeah, you can't wash it.
By Woodruff.
You can't change anything.
I'm trying to do my part. As one of my former bosses was fond of saying, look, I'm done my part. I'm trying to do my part to not throw off the juju and give the good vibes here wearing the Euchre Milwaukee Brewers jersey. They are now, our Milwaukee Brewers, the winningest team in Major League Baseball. 60 up, 40 down, and are in first place, a full game ahead of the dreaded Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. So that's great. And they're going for win number 12 tonight. Guess who's on the mound? The one, the only, the Miz. Jacob Mizorowski takes the mound. You can hear it on many of our stations across Civic Media tonight, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha,
WCQM in Park Falls, and our newest affiliate for the Milwaukee Brewers up in Hayward, our great station where we were last week, WBZH, the Buzz of the North in Hayward. The pregame show starts at 8:05 tonight, so make sure you have a coffee or a soda. Stay up late, listen to the game right here on those stations on Civic Media. The Brewers go for number 12 with the Miz on the mound tonight. Talk more about the Miz in a little bit. But here now, if you stay up late, Sommers, and you have a couple of beverages, you might need something to soak up whatever you drank the night before. And many people are saying they have favorites when it comes to breakfast. So here now, today's what's worse category, pancakes or waffles? Pancakes or waffles? What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it for free at your App Store, Apple or Android. Simply go to the search bar on your App Store. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up a little CM logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal. I almost said Civic Media's Gail King because I watched CBS this morning, and you can tell, if you watch Gail King as long as I have, you can just tell her energy ain't there the last couple of shows. You can tell.
There's a lot going on.
There's
at her
a lot
right
going
now.
On at CBS, and you can tell Gail King ain't happy about none of it. And she has not got that twinkle in her eyes. She doesn't come on at the top of the show with a cheery voice. And when they were discussing Colbert, we'll talk about more of this later on, because Jon Stewart, the longtime host who is back on Comedy Central at least one day a week now, and Comedy Central is owned by Paramount Global. We're going to play one of the cuts where we were able to play on the air. Jon Stewart took it to Paramount and CBS last night. And they played, to their credit, CBS this morning played a clip of that, and Gail King, you could just tell, was not happy at the parent company. So, anyway, what's worse, pancakes or waffles? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to the old text line here. Dave in New Berlin says, waffles are more of a mess in preparing and cooking. So waffles are worse. Now, that's an interesting take. Not so much the taste, not so much, the eating of the actual product, but he's going more for the preparation. Just don't go for the preparation H, Dave.
Well, unless you need it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Another one, if you have too much waffles or pancakes. Anyway, Dave in New Berlin says waffles are worse. All right, let's see here. Oh, also Dave in New Berlin talking about my Brewers jersey I have on, my number 8 Euchre jersey. He says, did you give that jersey a bath before you put it on? You know, run it through the washing machine? I did not. I have a clean undershirt on, but I did not wash the jersey. Joseph, watching on YouTube, says waffles are worse. Are waffles made in a machine with a timer are more consistent and can hold all the condiment goodness. I like that. Pancakes are great when they're done properly, but too often they are not.
And if you're watching on the stream, you can see the graphic. A good example of that, it looks like maybe someone's first time cooking pancakes.
Not the most tasty of pancakes in terms of the photo or the graphic.
There's one where there's a cut that the syrup is sitting in, and it somehow manages to look like an undercooked piece of meat that you cut into it and blood just oozes out.
Thank you for taking a pancake thing and making it gory. But no, you're right. It is. It does kind of look like that. But great point. Great point, Joseph, on YouTube. Now, my mom, growing up, she used to use lots of butter and cook the pancake. You know, have a nice layer, not a layer, but like have a good amount of butter in the pan and let that kind of...
Gets real crispy.
And then the edges of the pancake gets crispy. And then years ago, and I'm not sure if my friend Rob Wheat, who listens down in Monroe, Wisconsin, will remember this or not, but my mom claims that when we were kids, like 4 years old, 5 years old, Rob Wheat came over to the house and told my mom that she made the best pancakes in the world.
Wow.
Because what she used to do is she used to make like Mickey Mouse, like the ears.
Oh, yeah,
and the
you got
face,
it. You got
or
it.
She'd make dinosaurs. She'd make things. She was very talented in her pancake making things. And they had the crispy little edges because of the butter. So there, with that, we should get Rob and me, and we'll go to mom's house and we'll cook pancakes.
I always try to do that with pancakes, and you can even make like draw things within the shapes. If you let it cook for a little bit, it's darker, and then you add more batter, and that part's lighter.
Todd, watching on Facebook, we appreciate you, Todd, says those pancakes look bad. Yes. And honestly, the waffle doesn't look a whole lot better in this photo. All right, come on back. What's worse, pancakes or waffles? We'll decide after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
Fly ball, right field, it is deep, it is gone!
Milwaukee Brewer baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the Buzz of the North.
Fly ball, deep right, back, two,
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's ice cream month, and did you know you can celebrate at this area stop along the state's ice cream trail? Here's the scoop.
Now, in Wisconsin, we've got 49 different licensed ice cream plants that are making it. But this map focuses in on unique stops in Wisconsin. Every one of them's got a story.
That's Pam Yonke, known as the Fabulous Farm Babe. She says the current trail includes 20 locations, each one from Hayward to La Crosse, Madison, and then north to Appleton, Green Bay, and Door County, dishes out delicious, locally made ice cream.
I've been to one or two, but I'm surprised by how few I've got a chance to visit, and I'm a pretty big ice cream fan.
Find the trail at the website gatherwisconsin.com and add your own local favorite there, too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans and their families. Please visit WISVets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do you like waffles?
Yeah, we like waffles.
Do you like pancakes?
Yeah, we like pancakes.
Do you like French toast?
Yeah, we like French toast.
Dip, 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 can't wait to get a mouthful.
Waffles! 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 Waffles!
Dip, 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 can't wait to get a mouthful. Do you like waffles?
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 3 o'clock. What did he say? Would you like to get a mouthful?
Yeah. Of waffles, pancakes, and French toast.
But yeah, pancakes, French toast, and waffles. What is that song?
So there's this musician named Perry Grip. When I was pretty little and YouTube was first becoming a thing, his songs were everywhere. They'd just be catchy things with nonsensical lyrics, and they'd have stupid videos. Like there's chimpanzee riding on a Segway, chimpanzee riding on a Segway, chimpanzee. Like, it's just a chimpanzee on a Segway. That's it.
Really?
And that's also the only words to the song.
Wow. We used to have, I worked at the Capitol, there was this guy named Jeremy. He was nicknamed Jeremy the Segway Boy because he'd ride, it was a long story, but he was a protester that always rode a Segway, and he claimed he was disabled and that's why he had to ride it. He wasn't, but they couldn't do anything about it. I like that song. I like that song. Here's the question at hand. What's worse, today's edition, pancakes or waffles? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Our own Megan, very happy about that song, by the way, Zalbers. She's
yeah,
into it.
I figured at least somebody would recognize it and text about it.
She totally recognized it. What's worse, pancakes or waffles? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Also off of Facebook on the stream, Heather up in beautiful Eau Claire, actually, I think in the Dells this week at Christmas Mountain. Anyway, says there really is no worse answer here. I could eat breakfast any time of day, but a flat, rubbery pancake is pretty gross. I agree with Dave. For preparation purposes, waffles are more work, but worth it.
So I think she's saying pancakes are worse.
Yeah, I think so. We'll see. We'll check with her. Now, back when we had the coffee shop, I did it both of them. I guess the first coffee shop, I came across the greatest waffle recipe of my life. And we use this at the shop, and they're the Belgian waffle. Use the Belgian waffle iron, so it's that mm-hmm. deep one. And they're the kind of pancakes a lot of preparation, as people are saying. And there's like a stick of butter and malt powder was involved, and special pastry flour, and then there's yeast as well, eggs, and warm milk. And the milk could only be a certain temperature to get the yeast to rise but not kill it. But if you did it right and then let it rise a little bit, and you use that malty light batter, so it was like crispy on the outside, but light and fluffy on the inside. Oh my gosh. And you put raspberries and fresh Wisconsin maple syrup, by the way.
That sounds delicious. Also, yes, you need real maple syrup.
Yeah, 100%.
It is a requirement. I will not accept high fructose corn syrup with colors and flavors. Yeah.
What's worse, pancakes or waffles? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go out to the old hometown in the beautiful Driftless. WRCE in Richland Center. Whistler, pancakes or waffles? What's worse?
Pancakes. Definitely pancakes.
Any particular reason?
Well, see, the waffles, they hold more butter and more syrup in all those little crinks and crinkles.
Right.
Those square holes.
Yep.
You know, and you can do it on both sides.
Yes.
So you have, twice the amount of space to absorb.
You're cutting out a little bit there, Whistler. The clouds aren't right out there in the Driftless, but I appreciate you calling, as always. I agree, Whistler, that there's more opportunity to have the syrup and the butter and all the goodness in there.
And Brett and Brown Deer had a very similar thing to say, that pancakes are worse because waffles have syrup pockets.
Well, there you go. Steve in Lodi, listening on WMDX, says waffles are definitely worse. All right. Kirk, listening up in beautiful Eau Claire on WCFW, the tap says pancakes are worse as you cook it one side at a time, and flipping an uncooked pancake is a mess. Waffles are best as they cook two sides at a time. Yeah, I agree, Kirk. Yeah, you got to wait till the one side of a pancake starts to bubble a little bit.
Yes, you wait for the bubbles.
Before you flip it. Our friend Rob Wheat listening live. Sometimes he listens to the old stream. But Wheat says on RCE down in beautiful Monroe, he's of the earlier story about mom cooking his pancakes as kids on West Side Drive in Richland Center. He says that tracks. That tracks. So always appreciate Rob listening in. Scott in Madison on WMDX says both are amazing, and the real trick you use, club soda instead of water.
I've never tried that.
Never done that. Great insight, Scott. I appreciate that. Terry in beautiful Cross Plains on MDX says waffles. By the time you get butter in every square, they're cold.
That's how my grandma always was. She when she made waffles, it was always every square needed butter.
Kurt, listening in Madison on WMDX, says waffles suck. Just saying. All right. Clearly see where he's standing on that. Anything, Brett, I guess we already did that.
I think we're caught up.
Yeah, I think we're caught up. All right, Zomers, pancakes or waffles? What's worse?
It's so hard. I'm a lover of breakfast food.
Me too.
I love it all so much. Yeah. Unless it would kill me, you know, no pecan, whatever. Right. Like none of that nonsense. Nothing that specifically would kill me. But I gotta say, I think waffles are more consistently better because of the whole, you know, cooking on both sides. And right. Frozen waffles, like Eggo waffles, are pretty good. But I've had frozen pancakes, and they're not great.
Right.
They're both easy enough to make yourself. So I think I'm going to say pancakes are worse.
Tim, watching on YouTube, says both are good, but I hate hotel waffles. I can never figure out the waffle maker and don't flip it right.
Those are an adventure to figure
out. As a stayer of Hampton Inns, and this is not a plug, but I whenever I travel, the reason I like a Hampton Inn, they're consistent. I started staying at Hampton Inns back in college when Kevin O'Connor and I would travel around calling WISS or whatever the conference was then, games for you to be Platteville. And the waffle iron, you just got to make sure you use the little cup, fill it to the line, and then,
yeah,
and
don't
then
go over.
Flip it once, and then 2 minutes later, a beautiful waffle. So I'm going to say waffles are worse just because of the time it takes to prepare.
Fair.
But
very fair.
Yeah, it's a tie. It's close. Pertner, a tie. Come on back. Talk a little news after this. Colbert as well on the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Despite a high price tag, consumers continue to have an appetite for beef. I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report. John Heinberg joins us. He's the market advisor for Total Farm Marketing. He shares how beef prices are affecting grocery store purchases.
When does the consumer get tired of these price levels? And it just seems like right now that the U.S. consumer is very content to go ahead and continue to buy beef. They've developed a taste for good quality beef, and they want that into the system, even as prices have been on the rise in that regard. And you know, we've seen still the ground beef trade, as well as the primal cut trade or the key cuts that you see in the grocery store, continues to stay strong. Prices just recently, we're near all-time highs, with the exception of, you know, when we had the COVID lockdown.
Consumers continuing to reach for beef this summer. John Heinberg along with us. He's the market advisor for Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. I'll be back with a look at your closing markets after this.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report, taking a look at your closing markets this Monday afternoon. From Chicago, cash corn closed at $3.99 and a quarter, down 4 and a half. New crop corn closed at $4.18, down 4 and a quarter. Cash soybeans closed at $10.10 and a quarter, down 4 and three quarters. New crop soybeans closed down a half at $10.25 and a half. New crop wheat closed at $5.49 and a half, up 7 and a quarter. August Class 3 milk contracts are trading at $17.61, down 2 cents. September Class 3 milk saw no change and is trading at $18.09 a hundredweight. 40-pound block cheese saw no change and closed at $1.64 and a quarter. Double A butter closed down 2 and a quarter at $2.47 and three quarters. To follow along with the Midwest Farm Report team, find us on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report or online at MidwestFarmReport.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Partly sunny and getting warm and muggy today. High temperatures tapping the upper 80s and really with the heat index feeling more like the mid-90s. Then tonight, overnight showers and thunderstorms roll through, continuing through our morning. We'll stay mostly cloudy tomorrow, with highs feeling more like 105 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jordan Leon and Amy Mazzariello, owners of the Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay. Then Green Bay comedian Kristen Lighty joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday, July 22nd. Zommer's on the board. Here's a little late entry. If you didn't join us there earlier, we were doing what's worse today, waffles or pancakes. A late entry that I'm going to read from WMDX Evan. Evan from Madison on MDX says, waffles are worse. My mom accidentally put baking soda in the pancakes, and I found a chunk. This was maybe 20 years ago, and she still mentions the face I made. It must have been quite a face, Evan.
Must have been quite the chunk.
It must have been quite the... But yeah, I mean, you're eating a pancake.
Just also how my family talks about me. No, I'm kidding.
And so you bite into a chunk of baking soda. That's not what you want. That'll
not exactly.
No, not exactly. But anyway, glad everybody played today. We'll have an all-new edition of What's Worse tomorrow. Our friend Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project is going to be in the guest host chair during the Civic Media Conclave tomorrow. Zommer's will be here to keep him on the rails. State Senator Kelda Royce will be one of the guests, and also the president of the union and co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Reed Galen, also joining Trigvi tomorrow. So tune in. Be a great program. Then we're back live with you. Well, Trigvi's live tomorrow as well. And then we'll be with you again on Thursday from Green Bay Preble High School, which is the home to this year's Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference, of which Civic Media is a sponsor. And looking forward to being up there at Green Bay on Thursday. And we'll do our show on Friday from there as well. Little news for you. This time from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lawrence Andrea, great reporter there. We've been talking a lot about the gubernatorial race in Wisconsin. Of course, the governor's race coming up next year, already underway. Republican Josh Shulman, one of the first ones to get in on the Republican side. Then had, I can't say his name, Bill Berrien, who... Again, touting his military service, which is fine, and also claiming he's a business guy. But like Ron Johnson, Ron Johnson took over his wife's family business. Ron Johnson did not start this thing, his business. And now this guy, Bill Berrien, apparently bought a business that was already up and running. So these guys like to claim they're big business guys, successful business guys, but they didn't start the thing. So you got Shulman and Berrien on the Republican side so far. On the Democratic side, Governor Tony Evers, the incumbent Democrat, has not said yet what he's going to do. Kind of teasing it out. Well, I'll announce soon. We'll see. I still don't think he's going to run for re-election, but we'll see. If he doesn't, it's going to be a slew of people on the Democratic side getting into the race. Well, here now, according to Lawrence Andrea's reporting that Milwaukee Journal Sentinel headline, Congressman Tom Tiffany teases a run for Wisconsin governor, but says he has not made up his mind. In other words, this is a way for Tom Tiffany to get more press. I give him that.
It's for him to stay relevant.
Exactly. Wisconsin's U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany has not said whether he plans to join the GOP primary for governor, but he's been happy to tease a run after pushing back his timeline for a potential announcement. Tiffany recently tweeted out a picture of himself holding a crappie. Now, we just got done talking about crappies. Well, that was what's worse a couple of days ago. Crappies or bluegills. So Tiffany tweets out a photo of him holding a crappie, apparently ice fishing, after a conservative website demanded that, quote, all future gubernatorial candidates prove they know how to hold a fish, unquote. Because, you know, that's what people want to vote on. And there's a photo of it, by the way, so it is true. Tiffany has hinted at a potential statewide campaign in more concrete ways. The website domain for TomTiffanyForGovernor.com leads directly to his current congressional campaign website. That site's homepage labels Tiffany, quote, a proven conservative for Wisconsin, unquote. The hints are not unusual or new for the third-term congressman from Wisconsin's Northwestern 7th Congressional District, but they represent the latest moves for one of the only Republicans still considering a 2026 gubernatorial run. Tiffany told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel he'd make his decision after July, quote unquote. As we said earlier, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman was the first Republican in the race, followed by Bill Berrien of Whitefish Bay. State Senate President Mary Fleskowski, former U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde, and former U.S. Senate and gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels are also considering bids, though Tiffany is the only person in that group to publicly express interest in a gubernatorial campaign. From what I'm hearing, Hovde is a no-go. And I don't think Tim Michaels he doesn't want to take the pay cut and move back to Wisconsin.
Hovde, yeah, exactly. That's why I think Hovde and Michaels should run, because they'll get their asses kicked.
Very strong words from Zomers there. I don't know what's going to happen. So Fleskowski, I think that's just kind of an also-run candidate. We haven't heard anything from Rebecca Clarkson-Tables Clayfish, the former lieutenant governor. And so, well, she has rumored that she's been thinking about it, but we'll see.
Everyone's always thinking about it until they're not.
Exactly. So I don't know. We're going to see. I think the article goes on here, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tiffany's saying whether Evers runs for re-election or not is not part of his decision-making, although I have doubts about that. Tiffany raised a little more than $147,000 in the first half of 2025 and had about $124,000 in cash on hand in his House campaign account, according to Federal Elections Commission records. Shulman raised a little over $424,000 since launching his campaign, and Berrien's Political Action Committee, PAC, raised more than $1 million before Berrien formally entered the race. I remember Berrien, this isn't a sign of his support. He just had $1 million laid around in his drawer, in his underwear drawer, and he said, well, I don't need this here. And so he put it into the campaign, and that's why you hear on this network and others, he's running these ads already. Because, in my opinion, Berrien just thinks he can buy the thing. I don't think that's true. I mean, in the primary, I don't think it's true.
Especially, we've seen somebody who has infinitely more money than he does already try to buy an election in Wisconsin, and it didn't work.
Didn't take, as George Costanza once said to Elon Musk. Didn't take in the Supreme Court race. So anyway, we'll continue to be on Evers' watch as Matt Smith at WISN Television and Upfront kind of coined the phrase, Evers' watch. I like that, Evers' watch. All right, let's go on to this, because we talked about this 42 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, and that is Stephen Colbert's program, The Late Show, on CBS was canceled unceremoniously last week. Colbert's contract goes through May of next year at CBS, and they say they're going to let him stay on until then. So he has 10 more months on the air, and then he's done. Lots of people saying that this is connected to the fact that CBS's now parent company, Paramount Plus, trying to do a merger with Skydance Media, which is subject to FCC approval, Federal Communications Committee, which Donald Trump's appointees now control. and that Trump, who already got a $16 million settlement from Paramount over a CBS interview with former Vice President Kamala Harris last year, in which Trump accused 60 Minutes of altering an interview, which they did not, but still CBS, without apologizing or saying they were at fault, they settled for $16 million. Trump also settled with ABC and Disney for a similar type of dispute with George Stephanopoulos. So, as they say, a lot of people are saying, industry people are also saying, that it appears that the Writers Guild of America is going to court, apparently, on this, saying that this settlement by Paramount was intimidation by Donald Trump to get this deal with Skydance done. Now, CBS and Paramount leaked something that said that The Late Show was losing $40 million a year, and it was for financial reasons only. Now, Colbert has been the number one rated show on late night for several years. Now, late night ain't what it used to be, for sure. But I don't get why you cancel your number one program in late night. In fact, CBS is not just getting rid of Colbert, they've already gotten rid of The Late Late Show. So when David Letterman came to CBS from NBC in 91, 92, Perry can correct me on that, Worldwide Pants, Letterman's company, had full control over both time slots, 10:30 and 11:30 Central, here in Wisconsin. And so you had The Late Show with David Letterman, and then he had The Late Late Show with Milwaukee's favorite son, Tom Schneider, for several years. And then you had Craig Ferguson take it over, Craig Kilborn, and then you had Craig Ferguson, and then you had James Corden. And after James Corden said, "I'm going back to England," they brought on Taylor Tomlinson, who I've heard is a wonderful comedian, but they never gave her the resources, in my opinion, and they had a weird show. It was like half a game show, half a talk show. Didn't make any sense, and so they canceled that earlier this year. And now they've canceled The Late Show as well, so both late-night franchises at CBS gone. Last night on Comedy Central, which is also owned by parent company Paramount, Jon Stewart, who was on that, had The Daily Show for years, anchored it for 5 days or 5 days a week, and then he left it for a while, and now he's back 1 day a week on Mondays. This is Jon Stewart's first opportunity to talk about his very close and good friend, Stephen Colbert, and his cancellation of The Late Show. This is from last night on The Daily Show.
Was this purely financial? Or maybe the path of least resistance for your $8 billion merger? Was killing a show that you know rankled a fragile and vengeful president, so insecure, suffering terribly from a case of chronic penis insufficiency?
Well, there's that. And that's just the parts we can play. Colbert really took, Jon Stewart really took it to Paramount last night. And I think he makes her, and Jon Stewart, I would go to The Daily Show. You can find it. It's an 11-minute monologue by Stewart.
It's easily findable on YouTube.
Yeah, I would highly, and to Gayle King's credit this morning on CBS this morning, she encouraged people to go watch the whole thing by Jon Stewart, which leads me to believe that Gayle King is on Colbert's side. And Stewart lays out, as he does so well, that look, yeah, late night isn't what it used to be. But I think I'm paraphrasing now, but he said, you know, when DVDs started stopping selling, or when CDs didn't sell as well, did we just say, well, I guess that's it for music? No. People adapted to streaming and now digital, and now vinyl's coming back. So Stewart's point was, okay, so maybe you can't do late night like we have done for decades and have the big studio audience and all the people and the live band, but why jettison the top-rated show in late night, late show with Stephen Colbert? Why completely get rid of it? Why not adapt it to today's technology and circumstances? Maybe you don't always have a live band. Maybe you don't have any live band at all. Maybe you go back to what the original late show with Tom Schneider was, which was just a nice studio and a couple of cameras and a discussion. Why silence a guy who challenges the establishment like Stephen Colbert and his writing team do every night? And I'm not saying that Colbert hits it out of the park every night. Heck, we don't hit it out of the park every day either. But go watch this this monologue by John Stewart last night. It was brilliantly done. We're going to come back, talk a little Brewers, maybe talk about listening as well on the other side. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is going again for Hoskins.
We've got the action all season long. Turn it up. Brewers baseball lives on your local Civic Media radio station. 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and your home for the Brewers.
Back to school is on the brain. That means new notebooks, pencils, new everything. And while the kids are getting ready to get book smart, it's time for you to save smart with Straight Talk Wireless. Switch now and get a free Moto G 2025 with 5G when you activate select plans. Now that's a smart call. Get Straight Talk covered by Verizon's 5G network. Available at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Offer valid through 10/19/25. Taxes and fees apply. Purchase of Gold unlimited plan or higher required for offer. Must activate the plan in-store at Walmart. Cannot be combined with other offers.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. An unwelcome surprise for Wisconsin farmers looking to apply for the Federal Rural Energy for America program, or REAP. The popular program helps rural small businesses and farmers invest in money-saving energy efficiency upgrades and clean energy. But the application window that was supposed to open July 1st was abruptly closed by the USDA. The agency says it's delaying the grant application window. The EPA is awarding a $700,000 grant to help Kenosha County pay for the final phase of restoration of the Pike River. Crews are restoring banks and habitat along the river and planting native pollinator-friendly plants. The project is aimed at improving the quality of water flowing into Lake Michigan. For a deep dive into environmental issues impacting Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC, CBS, or James Kelly News. Depending upon which of our great stations, you're listening to a check of weather with Brittany Merlot and her great weather team. Going to be hot. Maybe a couple of storms rolling through, so make sure you listen to Brittany's forecast. Our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, with the sports report. He's on the ground at Green Bay. I can't wait to hear. I'm assuming at some point he's going to talk about this. A weird story up there. This is from Tom Silverstein in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Packers release kicker Alex Hale after a freak injury sidelines him for the start of training camp. Now, apparently, they have veteran Brandon McManus is going to be the starting kicker, but Hale was a promising developmental player who is part of this international player pathway program. He's from Australia. But apparently, he got hit in the eye by a football during workouts. A poor guy. Here he is all the way from Australia, gets his dream played in the NFL, gets clocked by some kind of a football injury warming up.
In the eye.
And now the poor guy gets cut and may not end up making the team because they can't keep him on the roster. And he might be a chance to come back, but it's going to be really, really, it doesn't look good for the guy. I really feel bad. So Clemens will have details perhaps on that story, but many, many other stories as Packer training camp gets underway tomorrow up in Green Bay. And also the Milwaukee Brewers go for win number 12 straight tonight in Seattle against the Mariners at 8:05, the broadcast start time on many of these very stations. And then the first pitch around 8:35. Brewers going for number 12, the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, on the mound for the Brewers tonight. This is the Pat Murphy, manager of the Brewers, called him over the weekend. Hey, we're just a bunch of average Joes. This may be, and there's been a lot of Brewers stories over the years, this may be the best Brewers story since 1982 when the Brewers went to the World Series. Of course, our friends at Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. If you haven't seen it, still streaming on Roku and Amazon and Apple. You could buy the DVD as well, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers. It's a great feel-good story, but so is this year. Listen tonight on many of our civic media stations over the air as the Brewers go for number 12 in a row. In first place in the National League Central, the best record in baseball. Want to end with this. Saw this, came across this on Insta, as the kids say, Instagram. This is Bono, great singer, philanthropist Bono, talking about what it means to listen. And I think as Jane and Greg and I did our tour around Wisconsin, we could all use more listening. Here's Bono.
Lesson, if you're asking me, is to shut up and listen. And I saw this quote. This woman was a Sikh, Valerie Carr. She said, to listen to the other side does not grant them legitimacy. It offers them humanity and restores your own. Mm. She also said, deep listening is an act of surrender. So there it was. And yeah, in politics and activism, I've always tried to, you know, be on the other side of the barricade, be on, you know, try out every different point of view. You don't have to agree with somebody on everything. Just one thing, if that thing is important enough.
The great Bono talking there. I credit the interviewer, but I don't have that. But I wanted you to hear that in his own words. This is a guy, great, successful music career, obviously, with U2 and on his own. But also, as a philanthropist, as someone who has gone around the world fighting hunger, fighting for clean water, fighting for peace, a guy who's had a lot of reflection. And as we traveled around last week, Jane, Greg and I, on our trip around Wisconsin, this is why I'm looking forward to get back on the road on Thursday in Green Bay. He said it so well. Listening to somebody doesn't legitimize what they're saying, but it humanizes them. And in my experience, when we look at someone, even if we disagree with them, as a fellow human, it connects us. Doesn't legitimize what the other person might be saying, but it connects us. And once we're connected with humans, as humans, we can begin an understanding of one another. Again, doesn't mean we always agree. Doesn't mean that we're legitimizing someone else's point. But we can look at them as a fellow human. I think all of us, including myself, need to do more of that right now. Look at each other as fellow humans, as fellow Wisconsinites. Humanize one another. And I think we'll all be a lot better for it. Well said, Bono. Tomorrow, our friend Trevi Olson will be here as we have our Civic Media Conclave. And if you see smoke coming out of the other room, Zommers, you might want to come in. Don't wait for it to light smoke.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep an eye out for the smoke signals.
Yeah, exactly. And Trigvi Olsen will be in the guest host chair tomorrow. Looking forward to that. His guest will be State Senator Kelda Royce talking about K-12 and UW education, among other things. And then co-founder of the Lincoln Project and president of the union, also Reed Galen, will be on the program tomorrow as well with Trigvi and another edition of What's Worse. So tune in for that. We'll be back with you on Thursday from Green Bay Preble High School for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference. So looking forward to that as well. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is back in the host chair live right after us with another great show. So stay tuned for that. And then Pete Schwabba coming up from 6 until 8 right here in this very chair as well. Until tomorrow, when Trigvi Olsen will be here, Todd Allball saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Have a great afternoon.
Keep banging on, banging on your drum. Keep banging on, and your day will come. Keep banging on your drum.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A House Oversight Subcommittee approved a motion for the chair to subpoena Ghislaine Maxwell. She's the ex of Jeffrey Epstein and co-conspirator who's serving a 20-year prison sentence for sex trafficking. The Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, now says he also plans to meet with Maxwell. ABC's Perry Russum has more.
He says if Ghislaine has any information that is relevant to the DOJ or FBI, they want to hear from her. And it appears that Maxwell's attorney is open to this idea, saying today that they are in discussions with the government. He says, quote, Ghislaine will always testify truthfully. And this is a woman that a lot of people want to hear from. We heard from Epstein's former attorney over the weekend on Fox News calling Ghislaine the Rosetta Stone of information, saying basically she knows everything. And it appears some members of Congress also want to hear from her.
The attorney for the Menendez brothers says Eric Menendez is dealing with a serious medical condition. Eric and his brother Lyle are trying to get their prison sentence reduced for the murders of their parents more than 30 years ago. On Wall Street, stocks ending mixed today. This is ABC News.